Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathDoorProds.com Movies and Television Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by Amazon and Amazon.ca. They're Amazon. What more do you need to know? Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads for Amazon on the site and go buy some shit. While we don't have as much shit as Amazon, we do have our own store. So go to DeathDoorProds.com/store and buy some of our t-shirts and other shit. We are still accepting shirt design ideas, so if you have a design for a shirt you think we would like, then send it to bowiewan@deathdoorprods.com or post it in the forums of the t-shirt design thread. And if you like, we'll make it into a shirt and pay you based on how well that shirt sells. Priority will be given to like Death Door Prods ideas or jokes or something, but if you just have something you think is cool and you need a way to sell it, hit us up. And we're doing Extra Life again this year, so go to deathdoorprods.com/extra life, it's all one word, and donate or help, or join the team, help us raise funds. Our target is $1,000 for Children's Miracle Network hospitals, and all funds go to those hospitals, and all donations are tax deductible, so if you're into that, I guess. So yeah, deathdoorprods.com/extra life. I'm your host, The Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bowie Wan.
Hello.
So yeah, I guess I'll start, because I haven't done that in a while on this one, I don't think.
You've done that like two times in a row, saying, I haven't done that in a while.
On movies?
At least once.
Oh. Yeah, my memory is shit, okay? I have, like, the memory of an Alzheimer's patient.
Well, you've been saying it on practically every podcast for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so. I guess I'll start. I haven't done that in a while. Okay, yeah, Bobby, then. What have you been watching?
All right. Start things off with awesome. The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, so your review's up with that. Yeah, you gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
I did, because it, like I said, it's not a perfect adaptation of Spider-Man, but it's the best we're probably going to get.
Okay.
I'm not going to get too much into spoilers territory. I'm not going to say all the things that are great. Well, I'm not going to say all the things I loved about the movie.
Yes. For that, you can read his review.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a quick rundown. So I really liked the look of the movie. And honestly, I liked the way the origin story was handled, despite complaints that we're getting another origin story.
Okay, so what is the origin story? Like, everyone knows a classic origin story, bit by a spider, then Uncle Ben, great power.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing. It kind of takes its time with it and does it in a more realistic manner. Like, I guess it's not spoilers to say that Uncle Ben, you know, gets shot.
Oh my god, you... No point in seeing this movie.
Or that he gets bit by a spider.
Oh, well, that's just fucking great. I thought a bomb went off next to him.
Yeah, he gets bit by the spider, and, you know, there's a bit of angst, and there's, like, some more real-feeling family arguments with him and Uncle Ben, instead of just, you know, you're not my real dad! There's actually, like, a reason, and it's not so much that there's actually problems with each other, it's just, you know, they get like a real family does. They've been around each other too goddamn much. Mm-hmm. And they just get mad for everything, and Peter storms off, and yeah, the death of Uncle Ben is not quite so melodramatic, and it's not just, hey, revenge, I'm Spider-Man now. He honestly has to, like, find the balance between being a hero and trying to get his revenge. So yeah, I did like the way that origin story was done. He's not immediately the hero after Uncle Ben's death, but it is the major factor that pushes him in the right direction.
Okay. So, one thing that I was noticed while editing your review was the jokes. So Spider-Man is a bit of a jokester, for those who don't know.
Yes.
And so you... From what I gathered, you thought they were better?
Well, they were existent.
Okay. So, quantifiably better.
Out of your mind is not a joke. Just calling him Gobby is not a joke. But no, yeah, there were actual jokes that actually made people in the theater laugh. And as I pointed out, the main thing is, it's not just while he's goofing around that he jokes. It's not just while he's on top. It's a coping device. He's getting his ass kicked, and he's tossing out one-liners. Probably my favorite, and this is going to get the most spoilery I get by saying that if you watch the trailer, you know this. He fights the lizard.
Oh dear God. I thought he was fighting the Fearsome Four.
And there's a point where he's just continually saying, "Come on, let's just talk. We can just talk through this. Let's just talk. Let's just talk." And then finally he's like, "Okay, you don't want to talk." Shoots web over the lizard's mouth. There you go. It's probably my favorite joke in the movie. It's just timed very well.
Okay.
So yeah, that was going to be the second thing that I said I much liked better was Spider-Man's actual joking. Now, for the things I kind of didn't like, for one, FaceTime. He has his mask off so goddamn much.
Yeah, I noticed that in the trailer, like, just goes down, saves a kid, and then immediately takes off his mask.
Well, actually, I didn't mind it so much with the kid because there was a reason for him to do it with the kid.
Okay, yeah, but still, it's like the ultimate Spider-Man thing. Of, he loses his mask so much, everyone knows who he is.
Like all of the X-Men.
Yeah, half of his villains. It's just a bit absurd at times.
Like, it gets ridiculous. He gets forcibly demasked twice.
Yeah, one time by the Popo.
And then one time by somebody who already knows who he is. So he literally has no reason to take off his mask.
It could be he wants to look him in the eye while he does stuff. I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, just an absurd amount of FaceTime. I sense just looking at the trailers, any of the first-person sequences. I said it looking at the trailers that they look like shit. Spoiler alert, they still look like shit. They didn't look good in the trailer, but they don't look good in the movie.
Okay.
So that's the stuff that kind of bumped it down for me. Otherwise, great Spider-Man movie.
Okay, so yeah, this is... I don't exactly read a lot of reviews for other movies. Like, I check out, like, Rotten Tomatoes and one critic, Movie Bob. He's kind of my go-to for movie criticisms. And pretty much everything you said, he did the exact opposite of. He said this movie was like a flaming pile of donkey shit. I'm paraphrasing here, of course. Because, like, the look was shit, like, Parker was terrible, the origin story was weird and not good. Just I'll throw that out there.
I guess everyone has their opinions, it's just, you know, mine's the right one.
Already, just... I'm the best critic in the world. Okay, so yeah, and then moving on, what else have we been watching?
Alright, moving on, I watched Brave.
Oh! What do you think of that? I want to see that movie, really do.
It's decent, it's not great. It's not it's a decent movie.
Okay.
Yeah, like most of the plot is just a girl and a bear.
Well, most of the plot of this other, well, there's the one movie that I saw, I can't remember what it's called, but most of the plot was Sean Connery and a bear. No, Anthony Hopkins and a bear.
Anyways,
I love that movie, so a girl and a bear, probably step up.
So yeah, it is interesting. It has its funny moments. Now, the one thing, I'm a big Doctor Who fan, so I don't know what the name of the lead actress in this is.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to her voice, there's this part of my brain that keeps going off that says, that almost sounds like Karen Gillan. It isn't. It isn't.
Hmm.
But it sounds so much almost like her that it's distracting for me. Like, that almost sounds like that person, but not quite.
Okay.
I'm going to say there had to be at least one or two Scottish accents in that movie that weren't perfect.
Yeah, like, listening to the trailer, it just... A lot of the accents just sounded real, like, kind of forced a bit.
Of course, Billy Connolly's didn't.
Yeah.
Because he's Billy fucking Connolly.
Craig Ferguson's in that movie. He's Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the princess is Kelly MacDonald. So, not Karen Gillan.
Well, I know it's not her. All I'm saying is they sound somewhat similar, and it distracts me. That's all.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. I don't have much more to say about it.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, finally, The Dark Knight.
Have you watched it before, or are you watching
it again? Yes, I've watched it before. I rewatched it.
Okay.
No, not The Dark Knight Rises. I've not seen it yet.
Yeah.
I might soon, depending on how broke I am.
Yes. I probably won't soon, because I am just all the time broke.
Kind of depends on what the status of Fan Expo is. Which I'm sure I'll find out later.
Yep.
We're
getting emails today.
So yeah, The Dark Knight. It's still a solid movie. Except it kind of... I always say... I've always thought about this movie. Everything after the Joker is beaten, I hate.
Yeah, the whole stupid thing with like Harvey Dent's death and all that.
Yeah. It ruined a villain. It made no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, like, one thing that I always say that I always get a lot of beef for is Heath Ledger's not my favorite Joker.
No, not at all. He's my favorite movie Joker. I will say that.
I kind of like Jack Nicholson better.
Okay, well, no, definitely. Jack Nicholson is, like, an amazing movie Joker.
Yeah, and if you're kind of like animated movies, then Mark Hamill.
Yeah, or... Honestly, I don't have as much experience with Batman media, but I love the Arkham Asylum Joker.
The Arkham Asylum, it's Mark Hamill.
That is still Mark Hamill, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
They reprised their roles from the animated series.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Mark Hamill, probably the best Joker.
Boom, done.
But movie Joker, I do like Heath Ledger. Jack Nicholson, it's so close with those two, but I'd say, in my opinion, Heath Ledger barely takes it. In your opinion, Jack Nicholson takes it.
Oh yeah, hands down. Like, Heath Ledger plays a good realistic Joker, but that's not the Joker.
That is true, and I realized that more and more as I was watching this movie again, that it's not the Joker, it's the gritty realism Joker.
Yeah, like for that movie, they couldn't have done it better. Like, for that style of, like, realistic, you know, like, actually giving some kind of sense behind how Batman is Batman, it made sense in that world.
Yeah.
But he just seemed too restrained.
That is true, and it's not until later in the movie that I really start to like him, and I really find him start to act like the Joker, because, like, earlier on, he's a bit too serious.
Yeah,
about saying why so serious.
You're kind of ironic.
But later on, he, you know, he does some crazy shit at the beginning, which is awesome, but later on, he kind of gets that role, you hear him cackling more, he's dressing up as the nurse and blowing up hospitals in a very comedic manner.
Yeah, like, that was actually one of the best parts of that movie. Just him walking away, hits the button, and he's like, huh. Turns back, just starts shaking it, like, starts smacking it, just blows, like, oh, crap, and starts running away.
That is my favorite scene for that Joker.
Yeah.
And it's probably the only reason I consider him my favorite. But yeah, definitely I can see where you like Jack Nicholson, because he really is. He's just crazy nuts, the Joker.
Yeah, like that first scene we see him as the Joker, where he's just, like, shooting the dude. He's jumping around, shooting behind his back, shooting behind his head, just laughing his ass off the entire time.
Now, the one thing I did like about The Dark Knight's Joker is that they don't give him an origin story.
Yeah, that is actually cool. Like, the origin story of the Joker is supposed to be, like, shrouded in mystery and stuff. You know, like, the most, like, culturally accepted one, I guess, is the Killing Joke origin story.
Yeah. But I believe in the animated series, maybe the animated series, but in Arkham Asylum, reading the Joker profile, he didn't have a backstory there either.
No. Like, I'm pretty sure the only, like, proper origin story they gave was, like, Alan Moore's in The Killing Joke. Where hey, a comedian, he's falling on hard times, then he dresses up like a supervillain and falls in a vat of stuff. Then comes out and is laughing. And, yeah, that's kind of been the origin story that everyone who wants to give the Joker an origin story latches onto.
Yeah, and it's similar to the one used for Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, only in that one he's gangster.
Yeah.
Who then falls into that toxic waste. And one comic I read, it was Alfred. Which I would have thought was awesome. If Alfred was a fucking Joker.
Anyways, so yeah, Dark Knight still holds up, still a good movie. Not the best Joker, but still a good movie.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay.
So on to you.
Yeah, so watch two TV shows and two movies. What one do you want to hear about first? TV or movies?
Let's hear about your TV shows first.
So, I've started rewatching Metalocalypse.
All right.
Yeah, so I kind of dropped off halfway through the third season, which actually really sucks, because the third season is where it actually turned into a show, like a full-on show. Like, first two seasons, the show was like 50-minute episodes. In third season, 30-minute episodes. But yeah, so I'm just rewatching it from season one. It is still retardedly funny.
I've never actually watched Metalocalypse.
Yeah, like, you have to be a fan of metal to actually get, like, a lot of the every single piece of music in it is just metal. So if you like, you know, like, heavy guitar and death growls, then, you know, you're good for that. But if you're not a fan of metal, then you might not find a lot to enjoy with the show. But yeah, so it's a lot of the humor is just, like, the juxtaposition of just the horribleness that's happening and the, like, just like the straight-facedness of the guys of the band in it. Because, like, first episode, they are just like, there's flying along in their giant fucking death metal copter, going to perform a show in the Antarctic, and they're just driving along, and then, like, some turbulence hits. It's like, hey man, what up? It's like, oh, sorry, just hit a pack of geese or something. You just see, like, blood, you see entrails and blood flying back from behind them, and the pilot's just like, eh, no big deal. Turns the windshield wiper, just keeps flying. And, like, yeah, there's one bit where, like, they get a court-appointed psychologist. Not court-appointed, like, a band psychologist, because they're kind of drifting apart. And... yeah, and then just all the shit that happens with him and the banana stickers. I won't spoil anything of it, but it's real good. And yeah, but it's really insane with the show, because the entire plot is, so we got the band, they're off doing their shit, but then all the while there is this group of people, like high class generals, like world leaders, the Pope, I think, is there. And they all believe that Death Clock is like an ancient Sumerian like sign of the end of times. Like, they found, like, this old Sumerian thing with, like, a band carved in it that looks exactly like Death Clock. And it just signs all over the world saying that these guys are, like, the coming of the apocalypse. Like, there's one point where they go to, like, the, like, deep, deep, deep jungles of Africa to find, like, a Native American tribe to get really high with. And once they get there, like, you just see them standing there, and then it, like, kind of pans back, and you see a mountain with their faces carved into it. But, like, not actually carved, like, the land just kind of eroded their faces into the mountain. And yeah, it is insane, some of the shit that happens in there. And it just keeps ramping up as the series goes on, of just... oh god, it is so good. It is really good, and I really recommend the series for anyone who's a fan of metal and comedy. But one of the problems I have with the thing is, some of the characters are kind of hard to understand. Like, I remember the first episode, I could understand, like, half of what people were saying.
Subtitles required?
Occasionally, yeah. Like Nathan Explosion, the main lead singer, he's always speaking in death growl. And William Murderface, the bassist, who has a bizarre tendency to play bass with his dick. And actually play it pretty well.
That would hurt like fuck.
Yeah, like there's actually one... that's actually a joke, where like, one time he was, like, on the boat in Africa, walks out naked. He's like, oh, God, dude, what's wrong with your dick? It's like, I play bass with you, damn it! Yeah, he just sounds like... he sounds kind of like what I just sound like, only, like, 10 times worse. And, you know, there's also Toki and Squizgar, who are speaking in, like, broken Swedish English. But, yeah, the show is still fantastic, and I still love it. I'm going to keep watching it. I'm gonna finish up to the... I'm going to catch up with it. I'm going to completely... catch up on Metalocalypse, and they're going to keep watching it for the fifth season. Assuming there is one. I hope there is. But yeah, so, moving on. I also watched some Ben 10 Alien Force and Ultimate Alien.
Now, both. Which one of those is the shitty one?
Both.
Both?
Yes.
Which is the one that looks really bad?
Omniverse, the most recent one.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are four series of Ben 10 at this point. There's Ben 10, the original, which is the best by far. Ben 10 Alien Force, which has its moments, but really goes to shit near the end. Then there's Ben 10 Ultimate Alien, which is just shit from the get-go. And then there's Ben 10 Omniverse, which is the most recent one, where the art style changes drastically. So yeah, it's just... Ben 10 Alien Force, it starts out good. Like, the first two seasons are actually not bad. Not as good as the original series, but still not bad. So there's this breed of aliens called the Hybrid. And they are... They believe that they are the original species of the world, of, like, the universe, and everything else is just a bastardization of them. So they believe in, like, they, like, inbreed and, like, try to keep everything, like, all pure and shit. And so they believe that, like, every single other race in the universe is garbage, so they are either enslaving them or destroying them. And so they come to Earth, and Ben, who at this point is 15, original series he was 10, he's 15, he gets the... Like, he puts the Omnitrix back on, which is the watchlist, and turned 10 different aliens. It's a whole new suite of aliens. And then just starts going on and trying to stop the Hybrid from destroying the Earth. And so I'm going to get into spoilers here. I'm going to ruin the ending, the proper ending of the series.
Nobody cares.
Someone might, damn it. But yeah, so end of the second season is when the series, for me, truly ends. So second season ends, and he... So what happened was, he went to the Hybrid homeworld, and then used his watch to, like, fuse every single Hybrid in existence, pretty much every single Hybrid in existence, with a random DNA sampling from the over million species inside the Omnitrix. Like, the watch scanned everyone, and it's, like, massive genetic damage. They had, like, no resistance to anything, everything was all kinds of shit with them, so he just randomly spliced their DNA with stuff from the watch and saved their entire race. Well, species, I guess. And then, yeah, and then saves the world. Yeah, that's the entire end of the, that's the end of the season. Then third season starts up, and hey, you guys remember that villain from the first series? He's back!
Wow, talk about de-escalation.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you saved the entire universe! Now fight this guy you beat 18 times when you were 10! And he changed so drastically, like, in the original series, he was just... He had, like, some weird respirator thing on, because he was, like, blown up or something. But yeah, then he was just rolling around. He had, like, fucking weird pistons in his arms that he just, like, sunk in and then grew, like, giant muscles. He was strong and menacing and shit. And now he has, like, oh, hey, I have this weird ruby thing, and I have this gauntlet, and I have this sword, and I have Omega eyes, because I'm fucking Darkseid now or something. Just, the threat is completely taken out of him. He just looks ridiculous. And, yeah, it just falls into a really bad routine of... Hey, we fought the bad guy, and then, like, 17 episodes of nothing happening. It's like, oh, hey, some weird rock cow alien things came up from underground. We gotta go bring them back down there. It's like, oh, no, wait, it's a midget in a robot suit doing all this. Let's fight him. It's just real bad. And Ben in this season also comes across as just a dick. Like, in the first season, like, the first two seasons, yeah, he was kind of dickish, but, you know, that's kind of comes with the territory of having the most powerful thing in the universe on your wrist. He was a teenager, and everyone's calling him the legendary Ben 10. Wouldn't you be kind of a dick?
Maybe. A little bit.
Yeah. But then, you know, he also does, like, when the need arises, he gets serious. He is, you know, the guy who saves the entire universe. But then, third season starts... Some alien teleports in. It's like, I give you the Alien Congressional Medal of Honor. You've saved the entire universe. Thanks for that. It's like, all right, well, thank you. Then just grabs it and throws it in his closet on a pile of other shit, then kicks it in the closet so he can actually close the door on all the trophies he got. He just has a pile of alien trophies.
Wow. Dick.
Yeah, and then every second he gets, he brings up, I saved the entire universe. And I mean every chance he gets. And at one point he goes to a planet to try to stop a war, which is a really weird war because it's red versus blue. Like, one side is entirely blue, they fire off, they have blue guns, they fire off blue shells to cause blue explosions. And then the other side of the wall is a red team that's all dressed in red, has red guns, fires off red shells to cause red explosions. And so he goes there to stop a civil war on the entire planet.
Does the red team have one yellow guy?
No, they don't. It isn't that much of a joke. It's just, hey, you kids like video games? Ha! But yeah, and it is all kinds of bad. It ends really anticlimactically. It's like, it's not even the world's going to be destroyed. It's like, hey, I'm going to destroy your hometown.
Ooh, I'm so scared. It's not like I just saved the whole universe.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, the ship's going to crash in my hometown. Oh, just boop, done. But he does blow up the Omnitrix. Which I actually did like that. So at one point, Vilgax, the main bad guy, he gets Omnitrix, puts it on, and then he's using it to, like, he has this, like, army of, like, weird DNA robot things that anytime he activates the Omnitrix, they all turn into whatever alien he selects. And so since Ben is, like, the true wielder of the Omnitrix, he has a set of voice commands. So he sets it to self-destruct, and it self-destructs. So he blew up the most powerful weapon in the galaxy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not like he could have programmed voice controls for release, come back.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, but like if he does that, then Vilgax will just find it. Vilgax will just keep coming for it. But
okay.
It's... Yeah, but then it's also really shitty because at the same time, there's a guy who's an evil clone of Ben 10 who has the Ultimatrix, which lets him... Like, when he turns into aliens, it lets him, like, hit the button again and turn into a more evolved form of that alien. Including one that has rocket launcher hands. Which... It just seems that it's disingenuous. So, like, Azimuth, the guy who made it, he says, I never intended the Omnitrix to be a weapon. I created it so that we could better understand every single species in the galaxy. Which is, you know... It's science. He created it for science. And then everyone else turned into a weapon. But it seems disingenuous when you created something for science that has rocket launchers instead of hands.
Well, it just lets you turn into the creature, right? It's not his fault that alien had rocket launchers for hands.
No, he specifically designed it so that the creature, when you hit the button again, would evolve into something with rocket launcher hands. Like, the original creature is just a big fucking dinosaur thing that can grow. And then, he specifically designed it so that when you hit the button, you turned into fucking Bowser with rocket launcher hands. And I'm not even kidding, he has the fucking spiky shell on the back, he has the big tail, he has the... He looks very Bowser-y.
What a dick.
Yeah, he even turns from gray to green. But yeah, fuck, and Ultimate Alien just gets worse with him being a dick. Like, the episode that I stopped watching... was his girlfriend was upset with him. Like, so we had to go stop, like, some weird thing that was happening. But in order to do that, he had to miss most of his girlfriend's tennis match, even though she's in, like, the state semifinals or something. Which is, you know, a big deal. In the world of amateur tennis.
Yeah.
So yeah, he misses it and doesn't understand what happened. So what he does is he turns into his cloning alien, changes it, like, uses his Ultimatrix so that he turns it into a human. And then he has one guy who's a kick-ass, one guy who's just a jackass, and one guy who's British. Because that's how cloning works.
So basically they ripped off Multiplicity.
Pretty much. And it is... It's all kinds of bad, but... You look at the continuity errors, like, just two of them. Just two of them, and then I'll move on. So... This series was kind of weird in that it introduced Kevin Levin. So, in the original series, Kevin was a kid who was homeless, living in New York in a subway train, like, abandoned subway track, who had the ability to absorb energy. He'd, like, be able to, like, go up to lane, like, fuse box, grab it, absorb a bunch of electricity, and then shoot lightning out of his fingers. So, you know, kind of badass. And so, at one point, he absorbs some of the energy from the Omnitrix and lets him copy some of the alien abilities. Like, at one point he holds onto the Omnitrix while Ben is in his fire alien form and becomes, like, half fire alien. Another point where he absorbs some of, like, the strong guy with four arms and he gets that ability.
You know, I think I saw the episode of Ben 10 that introduced Kevin.
Yeah, you know, he was a fairly ominous threat.
Yeah.
You know, he was a exact opposite of the main good guy, you know, what a supervillain should be. What a main antagonist, I mean, should be. And yeah, and then there was also a bunch of future episodes where it showed him having those abilities. Like, he absorbed, like, he absorbed energy from, like, every alien inside the prison dimension that they have, and became Kevin 11,000 because Ben 10 was Ben 10,000, I guess. So yeah. But then, we get, so yeah, he's homeless, he's an orphan, and all that shit. And then we get into this season. He is not stuck in some horrible alien form, because at the end of this, because in the original series, he was stuck in some horrible alien form. He doesn't absorb energy anymore, but matter. He has parents, and he has a home in Bellwood, which isn't even in the same state as New York.
So, he made parents for himself?
Somebody made parents for him. Somebody made a mom for him, even though he, you know, he's supposed to not have one or something. It's all kinds of stupid. And, like, his dad was a plumber, who in this world are space cops.
Someone was going around with heavy doses of retcon.
Yeah, it's all kinds of bad.
It's like, you're now this kid's parent. I'm now this kid's parent.
Yeah.
I guess a neuralizer would be better there.
Yeah. We're just a big, like, piece of wood or something. Just smack him in the head. It's like, oh, God, what happened? Who am I? This kid's dad. But, yeah, so... And also, his dad is British. Like... It's all kinds of stupid. So then let's move on to Gwen. So, in the original series, so Gwen is Ben's cousin. And yes, they make that joke. Of like, so wait, your names are Ben, Gwen. So wait, so your cousin's Ben and Gwen, and Gwen is a brother named Ken. Like, that's actually a thing. It's just weird. And so yeah, they do all that, so they make that joke. But so in the original series, she started out as just being the brain of the operation, you know. Grandpa Max had all the alien shit because he was a plumber, space cop. Ben had the Omnitrix, if he was actually an alien. And then Gwen was just there to do karate and make fun of Ben. And, you know, actually saved his life a few times. But then, near the third season, she started doing magic. She stole some witch's spell book and then started learning shit from there. Actually getting pretty good. But then, in this season, her magic has completely changed. Like, it's, like before, she'd had, like, do a spell, hold out her hand, some weird blue energy would form over her, and then, like, she'd be able to, like, fly or create tornadoes or shit. A lot of her spells were, like, wind shit. But now she just creates weird purple platforms.
Okay.
Without using any kind of spell. Like, oh, I have to move a thing. I'm going to shoot out a weird purple thing to grab it. It's like, oh, I have to fly. I'm just going to make a platform that I stand on. And then it's revealed that she's actually part alien. Because her grandma was an alien. Because, yeah.
Bow wow.
Yes, this is another weird thing. Like, all the alien sex in the show is insane. But, yeah, so that all happens, and then at one point, she just starts randomly being able... She starts randomly using actual spells again. Like, at one point, she time travels. Because, yeah, that always works out well. And it's not good. It's just glaring for anyone who... And I realize these shows are for kids, okay? I realize that. But keep in mind, I was probably within the respectable age range when the original series came out, and I am nothing if not thorough. So I'm probably going to keep watching Ultimate Alien. I'm going to suffer through it, and then get into Omniverse. But yeah, it is... It's just really glaring. These continuity errors to come up with. But yeah. So does it for TV. On to movies. So, I watched Hudson Hawk.
I like that movie. It's totally silly and cheesy.
It's really weird.
Yes, it is weird.
Yeah, so, for those who don't know, Bruce Willis stars in it, and he plays a thief named Hudson Hawk. Who times... So, you know how there are those people who, like time their, like, robberies? You know, you gotta get in and out in, like, 30 seconds? Or something. So he times all his robberies to show tunes. Like old classic, like Rat Pack era songs. And so he goes in there, he is always singing them. Like before we even get this, we have him, like his partner in crime, you're just giving him song names. And he's just naming off the times for every single one of them, like it's nobody's business. And so what he is involved in is he is like contracted as soon as he gets out of prison to steal a piece of a thing that was created by Leonardo da Vinci that turned metal into gold. Because, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, famous for being an alchemist. But it's just really weird. But yeah, I haven't actually finished it.
And gets silly.
Yeah, I probably will finish it. But
like, it's a good, cheesy, fun movie, but it's not a good movie.
No. It's like one of those movies you sit down, have a few drinks, and just laugh at. It's the perfect movie for a Let's Watch.
Coming soon, Bruce Willis month.
Yep. Gonna get into his weird career. We're gonna watch Death Becomes Her, Hudson Hawk.
Oh, I love Death Becomes Her.
Yeah, it's real weird.
See, I guess Fringe Bruce Willis month.
Yeah, we're not watching any action movies of Bruce Willis. Okay, so, yeah. And finally, I watched ATM. Well, what I could stand of it.
How is that?
Not even remotely good.
I'm sure.
I didn't even get to the part where they get to the ATM. I didn't even get to the titular ATM. Like, so it has Josh Peck in it, and I hate Josh Peck with all of my heart. He's the kid from The Amanda Show. You know, the fat one.
Oh.
See, he just spends this entire movie being a half-stoned douchebag. Like, he even has douchebag facial hair. You know, and there's a whole weird thing. Like, so the girl in it, so the main, like, character plot, like, character conflict between the thing is the main guy and the main girl didn't really get a thing. So he, like, asked the main girl out, but he asked her out for an activity. So she said no. And then that's their whole character arc of, oh, hey, I asked you out once, and you said no, so now it's awkward whenever we're hanging out together. And she's also wearing, like, the hipster Ray-Ban glasses at all times, even though she doesn't need them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, first time I see her, Ray-Bans. Second time I see her, no glasses whatsoever. And, like, when she was wearing them, she wasn't even reading anything. She was holding papers and talking to somebody.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah, and so the point where I was, so like the second to last thing that made me turn off this movie was a joke that was like an anecdote that Josh Peck was telling that was constantly being interrupted by people being douchebags. So yeah, it's an office Christmas party, and he says, so it was New Year's Eve last year, and I it was like 20 minutes to midnight, so I ordered pizza. Then, you know, New Year's Eve struck, and then pizza came. It's like, I was like, and I said, like, hey, man, what took you so long? What took you so long? I ordered this pizza last year. And that's the joke. And nobody laughed. Yeah, never. If you are given the chance to watch ATM, either burn it with fire or just leave. Like, you do not want to associate with anyone who would actually watch ATM.
Standing at a friend's place. Hey, you want to watch ATM? Just silently leave.
He was like, you want to watch ATM? And just stare at him for a second. Then pack your things and leave. It's like, but dude, you can't get in your house. You're locked out. I don't care. I'll sleep in the shed. I don't give a fuck. I'm not hanging out with you anymore.
You know where I'll sleep? That'll be safe. Hey, ATM booth.
It's like, I better be careful. A guy in a parka doesn't show up and start menacing me from like 10 feet away from the door. Yeah, and those guys are fucking pussies. Like, seriously. It's like, it's 0 degrees there, and they are spending their entire time like, oh god, it's so cold!
Now, is that 0 Celsius or 0 Fahrenheit?
I'm pretty sure it would be 0 Celsius. It's like, it's either 0 Celsius or just below 0 Celsius. Like, they're going out in, like, New York-style winter jackets. Of just, like, just some very weird fabric. It's very, like, light, or it looks very light, and they just kind of, like, walk out in that. It's not any insulation or anything. It's just, hey, the jacket's on. And then they go into the thing, it's like, oh god, it's so cold in here. They're fucking pussies. Yeah. I spent a good 3 hours one time out in the snow in a t-shirt.
Yeah, I am a scrawny, scrawny man. I handle 0 degrees.
Yeah, but you're Canadian.
Literally clothed.
Yeah, but, like, we're Canadian, so...
Yeah, that doesn't mean we can't ridicule them for not being able to handle the cold.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what's the matter, America? Can't handle little freezing temperatures?
I mean, if they're going to accuse us of living in igloos...
Yeah, we're gonna accuse them of not being able to handle the cold. It's like, oh no, it's 20 degrees Celsius. No, it's like, oh no, it's 19 degrees Celsius. I'm so cold. Fucking pussies. So yeah, that's what I watched. On to news. So, first up, the World of Warcraft movie now has a new screenwriter. So yeah, Charles Leavitt, the guy who wrote Blood Diamond, is writing this World of Warcraft movie. Yep. So, it's a Legendary Films, the company that's kind of making the movie, said that they were sparked to Leavitt's take on the WoW movie. And so the film could be getting some, like, steam as the thing goes on, and maybe even get a new director, because it's official that Sam Raimi has left the project.
That's alright. I don't think he can do adaptations too well.
No, I wouldn't. I doubt it would be that good. It would probably be great, but not that good.
You're a great director, Sam Raimi, but you can't adapt things.
Yeah.
It's not in your repertoire.
Yeah, stick with original stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Darkman was good. So yeah, moving on. Joss Whedon is signed on for Avengers 2 and a Marvel TV series. So yeah, so Marvel released a statement saying, Joss Whedon has signed an exclusive deal with Marvel Studios for film and television through the end of 2015. As part of the deal, Whedon will write and direct Marvel's Avengers 2, as well as help develop a new live-action series for Marvel Television at ABC. He'll also contribute greatly to the next phase of Marvel Cinematic Universe. So in case this is like the Phase 2 stuff with like Captain America, Winter Soldier, Thor, Dark World, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Joss Whedon's going to touch all of it.
Yep. Inappropriately, and it won't mind. And it won't mind. Yeah. So, moving on. Donald Faison from Scrubs is in talks to join the cast of Kick-Ass 2, Balls to the Wall. And I'm not kidding, that's actually the subtitle for Kick-Ass 2.
Okay, why is that the subtitle for Kick-Ass 2?
I have no idea.
Why does Kick-Ass 2 have a subtitle?
I have no idea! So yeah, Faison will be playing Dr. Gravity, who in the comic book Kick-Ass 2 was a physics professor who walked around with a baseball bat. I think he was also one of the founding members of Justice Forever, the fake Justice League of that universe. But in the movie, he'll be playing a copywriter who walked around with a baseball bat and created Justice Forever.
Alright, so why is he Dr. Gravity if he's not a physicist?
He has a baseball bat. He's black.
So, what?
I have no idea, dude. I have no idea why they decided to change him from a physics professor to a copywriter.
Yeah, that really doesn't... Why a copywriter? Why? Why the change of careers?
I have no idea, like... When he was a physics professor, it made sense, because, you know, gravity is a physical force. But now it's a copywriter, it's like, oh, I don't know, I fell on my head once.
I'm Dr. Lawsuit.
Yeah. It's like, hold it! That design is awfully close to Superman's. It's like, lawsuit, boom!
Just goes around suing the superheroes and supervillains for copyright infringement.
Yeah, his baseball bat just has, like, a subpoena on it.
So, yeah, goes up to the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Wait till they get a load of me. Lawsuit!
Yeah. Just leaves. That's all he does. His power is just teleport wherever anyone in a superhero costume is violating copyright for somebody. So, yeah. The movie is going to be directed by Jeff Wadlow instead of Matthew Vaughn, who directed the first one. He's going to be producing it this time. So Aaron Johnson, Chloe Moretz, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse will all be reprising their roles as Kick-Ass Hit-Girl and Red Mist, a.k.a. the Motherfucker, respectively. And so the movie is going to be adapting the Kick-Ass 2 comic as well as the miniseries Hit-Girl, which is kind of weird that they're going to be... Well, actually, it does make sense.
It is also kind of good because Hit Girl is the main appeal of the first movie, at least.
Yeah, like, people who went to that movie, like, they weren't talking about, oh man, Kick-Ass is so great. Talk about, oh man, Hit Girl and Big Daddy are so awesome, and then Big Daddy, you know, got ganked. So now the only draw is from Hit Girl.
Yeah. No one cares about Kick-Ass himself, and that's kind of one of the points of the comics.
Yeah.
It's like, he's kind of just there.
Yeah, Kick-Ass isn't even very good. Like, he's kind of the one who, like, brought being a superhero to the mainstream, but then everyone has surpassed him at it. Like, he just kind of shows up and is like, I have 2 sticks, and gets his ass whipped. But yeah, so, Kick-Ass 2, it's still happening. So, moving on. Warner Brothers has approached Ben Affleck to possibly direct the Justice League movie.
Oh, this can only end well.
He's a good director. Like, I've seen a lot of his movies he's directed, and they've been good.
Okay.
Yeah, but, so while Warner Brothers is approaching him, according to Deadline, Ben Affleck's representatives say that Ben Affleck won't actually be directing it.
Direct our Justice League movie. No!
Yeah. Yeah, like, Fleming, the guy who wrote the story, said, just because the studio wants Affleck to direct the movie doesn't mean he will. Like, and several sources tell me that he might have a meeting, but that's it. So, yeah. Over before that started. So, final piece of news. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, has been rated R instead of PG-13. So yeah, the movie is starring Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton as they play, like, grown-up Hansel and Gretel, who go out and kill witches. Which, I can dig that. Like, the test screenings that they've said, people have described it as, let's read this thing. One user compared the silly tone favorably to Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and Drive Angry 3D. And I like both those movies, so I'm excited for this movie. It's gonna be rated R, so lots of swearing, possible nudity, and horrible violence.
Yeah. Should be good.
Yeah, only good things can come from this. So yeah, that does it for news. And since I forgot that we also had to do new releases, let's do trailer.
I'll run down some of the trailers I've seen.
Okay. I have a few myself, so you go first, then.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph, first of all.
Ah, yes! What do you think of that trailer?
Oh my god, it looks like an awesome movie. I have to see it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been saying, too. Just, oh god, it's so good.
I mean, it's a video game-based movie with actual video game voice actors and Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, it's fucking Alan Tudyk. What is not awesome about that?
God, I'm so excited for that movie.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Hey, anything else?
I have two more. Total Recall. I watched one of the most recent trailers in theaters, and I can confirm they do not go to Mars.
Yeah, Australia.
Yeah.
Which is all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah, so like, they've ruined that movie.
Yeah, it's like finding a video recording of yourself saying, get your ass to Australia, doesn't have the same just kind of that Get Your Ass to Mars has.
Like, mostly the movie looks wrecked. Like, it was supposed to be cheesy. It doesn't need a remake.
Yeah.
I mean, the only hope is that they'll do the three-titted woman right.
Yeah, well, she is in it.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason they remade this movie. So, like, no, we could do three tits way better than that.
Yeah, and I saw a picture of a three-titted lady. They look like three tits. Yeah, nothing else?
Just one more. I watched the newest trailer for Doctor Who Season 7.
Yes, I did too.
The Daleks are back. God.
Dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Yeah, that's going to be an intense episode whenever it comes up. But yeah. my main thing about that trailer is the old Daleks are back. Thank God.
Yeah, and back en masse.
Yeah, and there's still some of the new Daleks, but there's very few of them. And they'll probably be, you know, decimated by the end of this season, so...
Oh, yeah. And they also have, like, new Weeping Angels.
They've ruined the Weeping Angels. I cringe to think of what they're going to do to them now.
They got cherubs now. Instead of just straight up angels.
Yeah, I cringe to think of what's going to become of the Weeping Angels.
Mm. Yeah, so this is the, I think this is the send-off season for Karen, Gillen, and other guy?
Yes, this is their last season. There will be finally some new companions. Yeah. They've been around for a bit too long, to be quite honest.
Yeah, how long has it been now?
Like, since Matt Smith showed up, which was season 5.
Yeah, so 3 seasons they'll be in.
Yeah.
Like, even Rose didn't last that long.
No, she was 2 seasons with a couple of reappearances.
Yeah. And then, you know, Alternate Dimensions and shit.
Yeah, and everyone, you know, it's not seen as a good thing to have the Doctor having the same companion for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And people are honestly more interested in seeing him, you know, do stuff with River Song.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking awesome. Ugh, but yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it for my trailers. I've probably seen more. None of them were memorable.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, I saw the Doctor Who Series 7 trailer. I saw Paranormal Activity 4.
Oh yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah, so... So this trailer is a... So this movie is going to be a continuation from the first and second movies.
Okay, I haven't seen any of the Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah, so in order, like an actual chronological order, it goes Paranormal Activity 3, Paranormal Activity 2, Paranormal Activity 1, then the end of Paranormal Activity 2. So yeah, Paranormal Activity 3 was a prequel showing, like... So in the first two movies, the main characters, the sisters, they kept talking about how when they were kids, something was haunting them. They couldn't remember what it was, but they knew something was happening to them. Then it goes back in the third one to actually show the weird things happening to them, like the youngest one having like an imaginary friend who was actually real, like shit being thrown around and stuff. Like, it gets real weird. So then the second one was like the sisters are all grown up. The oldest sister has a family and everything. And then, you know, the horrible demon shit that's happening to them. And so then what they do is they get their Mexican housekeeper to perform a ritual that then passes, like, transfers the demon over to the younger sister. And then Paranormal Activity 1 happens. Then the end of Paranormal Activity 2 happens, where the sister, still possessed by the demon, comes along, kills the entire family, and takes their baby.
Okay.
Because the demon is after the firstborn son of that family, and up till then, they've only had daughters. So then, Paranormal Activity 4 takes place, I think, 4 years after the end of the second one, where the baby is now a toddler, now has demon powers, and is now living next door to a family that he has started to harass with demon powers. And a good chunk of this movie takes place in FaceTime. You know, like the weird fucking stupid thing where you like hold the thing up so you can see yourself, and then there's a little camera, there's a little like picture in picture down in the corner. A good chunk of the trailer takes place in that. There's always like, and it's also it's. I'll probably end up seeing it. I'll probably end up fucking seeing it. It'll probably be like laughably good, like laughably terribly good. But it's, I'm just getting fucking sick of it. But speaking of things I should be fucking sick of. Cockneys versus zombies.
You know, I'm never going to be sick of zombies. I liked zombies well before the craze. I'm going to like them afterwards.
Yeah, I like zombies well before the craze too. It's just, there are so many of them now. That it's like, every time I see zombies, it's like, ugh. But Cockneys versus zombies looks really good. It looks like a... kind of a... Okay, how do I say this? A more... It looks like a hard R Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like everyone in it is, you know, cockney and shit. And a lot of the jokes are really funny. Like one of the things is like an old age home. There's a guy outside sleeping and like zombies are coming around. It was like, It's like, Bernard, wake up, you bloody bastard, there are fucking zombies everywhere. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He gets up above his walker, it's like, zombies, like, looks around, like, oh, fuck, a zombie. And it starts hobbling away about as at the exact speed as zombies are walking. So just the slowest zombie chase ever. It's like, oh, fuck you, zombies. It's slowly walking away, and it's really funny. And then you actually get to see, like, this entire retirement community give them Uzis and fucking M16s and shit. And, like, the only reason they're going to this old folks' home is because the main characters, their grandpa, is in the old folks' home. So they show up, give him a bag of guns, like, I speak a language, and then you get, like, the old guy with the walker, give him an Uzi, just shoots down, like, three zombies, like, that was kind of sad, wasn't it? I really want to see this movie. It looks fucking amazing.
Sounds like it's got a bit of a Hitchhiker's humor to it, I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, it is British. Yeah, I really like the stuff where it's like the kind of darker end of London, where it's like the people who don't exactly have the most, people who have like recognizable Cockney accents, like Attack the Block was great, even though that was like inner city shit, not exactly Cockney, but whatever, it plays. You know, when someone says, hey, do your British accent, do you immediately go to Cockney?
No.
Or East End?
Even though my grandmother has like a really thick Cockney accent.
Yeah,
I can't do a Cockney accent, to be honest.
I could do one like back in the day, but I think it's been supplanted by my Scottish. I know that makes absolutely no sense, but shut up. That's how my brain works. So yeah, that does it for trailers. So new releases, I have them up. So for this week, the week of August 10th, first up we have The Bourne Legacy.
Move on.
I want to read the thing.
We got to do these kind of quick, though. So,
the narrative architect behind the Bourne film series, Tony Gilroy, takes the helm in the next chapter of the hugely popular espionage franchise that has earned almost $1 billion at the global box office, The Bourne Legacy. The writer-director expands to the Bourne universe, created by Robert Ludlum with the original story to introduce us to a new hero, whose life or death stakes have been triggered by the events of the first three films. For The Bourne Legacy, Renner joins fellow series newcomers Rachel Weisz, Edward Norton, Stacey Keach, and Oscar Isaac, while series veterans Albert Finney, Joan Allen, David Strathairn, and Scott Glenn reprise their roles. Movie's over 2 fucking hours long.
Yeah, if you're expecting to see Jason Bourne, I believe they cut in some brief clips from the other movies. just to say, Jason Bourne's here, and that's causing whatever's happening for the next movie.
It's like, hey, the first three movies happened. That's why this one's here.
That's another one of the trailers that I saw and forgot.
Yeah, so
good reason.
So next up, The Campaign. So when long-term congressman Cam Brady commits a major public gaffe before an upcoming election, a pair of ultra-wealthy CEOs plot to put up a rival candidate and gain influence over their North Carolina district. Their man, naive Marty Huggins, director of the local tourism center. At first, Marty appears to be the unlikeliest possible choice, but with the help of his new benefactor's support, a cutthroat campaign manager, and his family's political connections, he soon becomes a contender who gives the charismatic Cam plenty to worry about. As election day closes in, the two are locked in a dead heat, with insults quickly escalating to injury until all they care about is burying each other in this mudslinging, backstabbing, homewrecking comedy. At one point, Will Ferrell punches a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. So, then next week, the week of August 17th, we have The Expendables 2. So,
Chuck Norris.
Yeah. So, The Expendables. I'm sick of him. The Expendables are back, and this time it's personal. Barney Ross, Lee Christmas, Yin Yang, Gunnar Jensen, Toll Road, and Hail Caesar, with newest members Billy the Kid and Maggie aboard, are reunited with Mr. Church enlists the Expendables to take on a seemingly simple job. The task looks like it's an easy paycheck for Barney and his band of old school mercenaries. But when things go wrong and one of their own is viciously killed, the Expendables are compelled to seek revenge in hostile territory where the odds are stacked against them.
I hope the one of them that's killed is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because he's going to be in this movie.
Thankfully, the movie's only 1 hour 43 minutes. Thankfully. Yeah, what the fuck kind of name is Lee Christmas? It's almost as bad as Christmas Jones. So, yeah. Final movie that's coming out next week is Paranorman. So, the new 3D stop-motion comedy thriller from the animation company Laika, reteaming the company with Focus Features after the groundbreaking Academy Award-nominated Coraline, Paranorman is, following Coraline, the company's second stop-motion animated feature to be made in 3D. In Paranorman, a small town comes to siege by zombies. Who can it call? Only misunderstood local boy Norman, who is able to speak to the dead. In addition to the zombies, he will have to take on ghosts, witches, and worst of all, grown-ups, to save his town from a centuries-old curse. But this young ghoul whisperer may find his paranormal activities pushed to their otherworldly limits. Get it?
Yeah. I don't know if it'll work as well as Coraline did. Coraline was kind of unique and fucked up.
Yeah. And based on Neil Gaiman. But Neil Gaiman writes good stuff, and I have no idea. I actually am kind of looking forward to it.
It could be good. Could not be. It can go either way. Easily.
Yeah, but the voice actor playing the main character, I hate his name.
What name is that?
Cody Smit McPhee.
Yeah.
And he was in Wolverine, and he was in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yay.
But he was also in Let Me In. Which was that remake of the vampire movie, Let the Right One In.
Anyways.
Yeah, so you guys are going to do it for this week. Sorry if this one's a bit short. We are down a person and rushed.
Yep.
So yeah, as always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DestorProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds, and we have at Bovion. Like us, we are on Facebook. Like us there. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe to us and leave us some reviews. Let us know what you see more of, less of, etc. So, today we'll also be posting our commentary track for The Muppets. Then we have the Anything Cast Live on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern at allgames.com. Then we have video games on Tuesday and anime on Thursday. And our commentary track for Repo the Genetic Opera will be going up next Friday. So yeah, until then. Well, I guess until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovion.
We'll see you guys next time.